Take your Bibles once again, turn to Jonah. We're willing this week and next week, we'll wrap up the book of Jonah. I trust you've benefited from it. And anytime we open the Word of God, and there's something for us. Always something for us. And thank you for being here today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to be in your house. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for providing for us every day. Lord, we thank you for the rain you sent our way, the help we have to be here today. And again, Lord, we rejoice today and how you've helped Brandy. And I pray, Lord, you continue to help her and strengthen her every day. And others, Lord, in our church that are sick, Brother Wheeler, continue to be with him. Lord, we know, Lord, as time goes on, we all are sometimes have sicknesses and things that we don't understand. But Lord, it's just a season in our life that you're taking us through to God to remind us of how much we need you. And God, we sure need you today. As we come to you today, we ask you, Lord, may the Spirit of God, may you lead us and guide us in all we say and all we do. And God, we're going to be careful to thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last several weeks, in fact, last 2 months, we've been talking about Jonah. Last week, we concluded chapter number 3. As we concluded chapter number 3, we were on a high, so to speak. There was a great revival. We find that Jonah's commission had been renewed. We see also that Nineveh believed the word that Jonah preached. Not only did they believe it, they accepted it, and they responded. They responded to the word of God as it was preached to them. You know, what a joy it is to see that we can have the opportunity as God's people, when the Word of God is taught, when it's preached, it's up to us whether we respond or whether we don't, whether we accept it or we reject it, you know. But we know it's much better to accept the Word of God and to believe it. And we find here, because of this, we see the compassion of God. In verse number 10, as we talked about last week, what God saw these people, their works, how they had turned now from their sins. They had a changed attitude towards God. Revival was everywhere. We find that because of that, what God did, we find that God now has reversed his judgment and rescued them. Rescued them. Like unto us, folks. Before I was saved, I was on my way to hell. I was a sinner. On my way to hell, I had no hope. There was nothing in me that was good. But Jesus came and took my place on Calvary. He paid my debt for me. You know, he reversed my judgment, so to speak, because he came and died for me. And because I put my faith in him and trusted him as my Savior, now I'm a child of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. So we see here last week, as we concluded that chapter, we find that there had been great revival in Nineveh. People had accepted Christ as their Savior, the Word of God that was preached, the man of God. Now we like to see in the last chapter, we would like to see in the last chapter how Jonah was carefully teaching the people and helping the people with spiritual decisions that they made. But we find that's not the case. In chapter number 4, we find Jonah stands out like the elder son in Luke chapter 15, who in anger would not rejoice over the return of the prodigal son, his brother. He refused to accept it. And now we find this is what happened to Jonah. If we could title this last chapter, it would be The Failure of Success. The Failure of Success. We see here that God turned his anger from the Ninevites. What a wonderful thing to know that God does do that and can do that. But now Jonah was angry with God over the removal of his anger from the Ninevites. He was in a mess. We find that God sent revival under a man preaching to people that he did not love the souls of those people. Folks, that's a miracle. How God can take somebody and speak to those people, preach or teach the Word of God to them, and send revival, knowing the heart of that man, he does not even love those people that he speaks to. This is a great miracle that God did to and for the nation, for the city of Nineveh here. However, we do see later on what happened. We see how unlike Christ Jonah is. You remember when Jesus stood outside Jerusalem? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft have I would have gathered you under my wings like a chick, like a hen, and you would not." In other words, when Jesus sees the multitude, what does he do? He weeps. He's concerned. He loves the multitudes, especially the multitudes that are lost. He loves people that are lost. But we see Jonah wasn't like that. Jonah was lacking in love. His heart was torn. His heart was not lovingly, especially towards the Ninevites, because they were Jews, because they were people that he thinks is their enemy. He classifies them as his enemies. He was lacking in love. He was always also lacking in true submission to God. He did and he did not want to do what God wanted him to do. He was in and out. He wasn't steadfast, so to speak, unmovable in the word of the Lord. We also see he was lacking in unselfishness. He was a very selfish person. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And that's all he wanted to do. And because of that, we find Jonah was in fear. We find also that his plan was defeated, so to speak. His plan was not accomplished. But we see God's was. We see that because God did not send judgment upon the people, he felt like his prophecy was unfulfilled. Therefore, he became angry. He became mad. He was displeased. He felt like he had been rejected or dejected from God because of what's taken place in his life. Yes, Jonah obeyed the Lord by going to Nineveh and preaching God's word. He did that, the message that God gave him to preach. But we also see that his heart, his attitude has not been changed towards those people, even though he preached to them the word of God. We also see instead now in chapter 4 of meeting a rejoicing preacher, one that is rejoicing in the Lord because of what God's done. We find a man of God here that is rebellious. He's angry at the people. He's also angry at God. We see that he's an adult acting like a child. Literally, it's what he's doing. He's pouting. He's pouting. A believer acting like an unbeliever. Acting like an unbeliever. We find here, this is where Jonah is in the state where we find and get to chapter number 4. A man running ahead of God. Jonah is in a rage now. He's in a rage. If Jonah would just look back and see what God's done for him and for the people that he preached to, my, what a difference it might have made. So why chapter 4? Why don't God just stop it there, you know? There was a great victory. People of Nineveh have saved and they trusted God and they believe in God. They believe in the man of God. Now here's chapter 4. Why in the world is chapter 4 in here? Well, God's not mistaken. God knows what he's doing. And there is a reason for this. Chapter 4 here in the book of Jonah. We see again, we see Jonah failing at success. Failing at success. God used him to be very successful as far as reaching the people. But he himself, his heart is not right. He himself has an attitude that's not right towards God and also towards the people that he's had the opportunity to preach to and to speak to. So, after being God's instrument for a great revival here, Jonah was upset. He was angry. And it would not go away. It would not go away. He had a problem. He had a very serious problem. We see quickly Nineveh responded to the word of God as he broke the word of God. Yet we see how slow Jonah is to respond to the Lord. He's very slow in responding to the Lord here. God's mercy to the Ninevites had been given, and he had created anger and bitterness in Jonah because he was prejudiced, if you please. He did not like these people. He was prejudiced. Now, let's look in chapter 4, look at verse 1 as we read today. Here we are. Jonah. It says in verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. What did? Verse number 10. Go back to verse number 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it, that's what displeased Jonah. Okay? It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. The Bible says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, if I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. My, what a sad state Jonah's in at this time. He'd rather die than to live as a Christian, as a man of God. We see, first of all, it displeased him exceedingly. Exceedingly. Displeased means to even see as evil. In other words, as far as Jonah's concerned, he viewed God's rescue of Nineveh as being wrong. He should not have done that. He questioned God even for what he did. He didn't think it was right. Notice he became angry. Anger means to burn. Burn within. God has turned his anger from Jonah's anger. God has turned from his anger, but Jonah's anger, God had turned his anger from Ninevites, but Jonah's anger towards God was kindled. Now the question is, why was he angry? Why was Jonah angry? Again, we see first of all that judgment had been prevented. The judgment that Jonah wanted to happen. God did not allow it. He had not allowed it. We also see that Jonah had done what God wanted him to do. What did God want Jonah to do? Tell me. To preach. To preach the word, right? He wanted him to preach the word. But now look on the other hand. God had not done what Jonah wanted. What did Jonah want? To destroy him, right? He wanted to wipe him out. So see, here's the conflict. See, between God and Jonah at this time. So we find that he prayed. He prayed and said, notice in verse number 3, therefore now, O Lord, verse number 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? This is his prayer. He says, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew it. I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. We find here he prayed. You know, the last time Jonah prayed, he was in the belly of the whale, wasn't he? What did he pray for? Mercy. He prayed for mercy, didn't he? Well, here we find him angry for God, giving the same mercy to the Ninevites. He's angry at God because now the mercy of God has been displayed to Nineveh and the Ninevites. So he's upset. He's upset. So we find here that Jonah resented God. He resented him. The fact that that God is, it tells us in verse number 2 here, first of all, gracious. He resented the fact that God has been gracious to these people. What does it mean to be gracious? We find that it's to show mercy to those who do not deserve it. I'm so glad that God has been gracious to me. I don't deserve his mercy. I don't deserve his grace. I'm thankful to this morning that God has been gracious to me. Not just one time, but many times in my life. You know, as we go through life, we'll see the grace of God in our lives because he's gracious to all of us. He's slow. You know, he does this for us, you see. He shows mercy to those of us that don't deserve it. How many of us can say, I deserve the mercy of God? Nobody does. Nobody does. I'm so glad that he chose his graciousness to us. He's merciful. That is, he's kind. He's compassionate to us every day. Jonah didn't like that. He resented the fact that God was this way. He resented God himself. We also see he's slow to anger. God gave the Ninevites how long to repent? 40 days. We see he didn't like that. God is slow to anger. Slow to anger. He doesn't respond sometimes like we do, fast, you know? But God does respond. He always does respond. In his time, he will respond. It may not be the way we think he is going to. It may not be the time, but he always responds. God's word is always true. Is always true. He's slow to anger. He's abundant in kindness. Abundant in kindness. He's plenteous. He's abounding in love. God loves people more than we could ever imagine, folks. He loves you. He loves me more than we could ever imagine or understand. As we looked weeks ago about the Ninevites and how wicked they were, if God could love them, I can say if God could love me, he could love anybody. He does love everybody. I know that. He's abounding in love. And Jonah resented that. He resented that fact that God was this way. He also resented the fact that God is one who surrenders from doing harm. He surrenders from doing harm. Because of the Ninevites responding to the word of God, changing their evil ways, and turning to God, God rescued them instead of destroying them. That's God, folks. That's God. God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, are they? But God's in control and God's in charge of everything in life that goes on. So we see Jonah resented the fact of who God was. He was angry now. He's a baby running around pouting, you know, not getting his way. You know, I can't understand God, why he does this, why he does that, you know? You know, has there been anything in your life that you didn't understand why it happened? Huh? Have you ever been upset about things that didn't go your way? I think all of us can say we have. What is God trying to teach us here? He's trying to teach us that God's ways are always best. They're always best. You know, we need to ask God to help us to understand the things that we don't go along with, and pray for God to give us grace every day to take one day at a time and do the best we can, you know? And then we'll find that things will be okay in our life, you know? We don't understand everything that happens in our life, but thank God he does. Now, notice in verse number 4. Jonah said in verse number 3, I'd rather die than to submit to God. I'd rather die than to live. In verse number 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? What is God saying to Jonah? Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Why are you angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Do you really have a right to be angry? God here, we find, is challenging. He's trying to put Jonah in the proper perspective. Help him to think right. Help him to think right. He's thinking wrong. He's thinking wrong, you see. Yes, his prophecy was not fulfilled. It was not fulfilled. But yet, on the other hand, when people do what God asked them to do as far as forgiveness, ask forgiveness and believe God's word and trust God, well, God is going to respond the way he wants to. And he did it in mercy. He did it in mercy, and he rescued these people because of their belief in God. So we see here now, it's not unusual for God to challenge people, his children. Remember when Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and they were instructed not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate it? What did they do? They hid themselves, didn't they? And God came out again to visit with them. What did he say to Adam? He said, where art thou? He challenged him. He knew Adam had sinned. But he challenged him, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" You remember also, he asked Cain. After Cain slew his brother, he said to him, "Where is Abel, your brother? Where is Abel, your brother?" Knowing what had happened, you see, God challenges people sometimes. And this is what happens here. God is challenging Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Notice in verse number 5, Jonah did what he did back in chapter 1. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth, in a booth, excuse me, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah was still looking for the city to be destroyed. He had seen the people respond to the word that he had preached, but he was still looking for the city to be wiped out, to be destroyed. So what did he do? He ran out of the city, got on a hillside, made him a booth, so to speak, a little hut. And he was sitting there waiting for it to happen, waiting for it to happen. Even though God had showed him what he was going to do. Jonah was, at this time, concerned only for his comfort. He made him a booth, a shelter to sit under and to watch the city and to see what was going to take place. He now is isolated. He's also bitter. And God was going to ask him another question. Now let's notice in verse number 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad, excuse me, of the gourd. Now we find here, this was a plant that was graphic, of course, fast growing, that God himself prepared. Just like God prepared the ship, he prepared the storm and all that. This was the first time that we read about Jonah being grateful because it's benefiting in his plan. He's getting the benefit, okay? He's sitting in the shade, shadow, the Bible says, and he's waiting there, you know. But notice here, the story doesn't stop here. Look at verse number 7. But God also prepared, a worm when the morning rose up, rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Isn't it amazing how God will prepare a gourd for him to have shade and then turn right around and prepare a worm to kill it? What's he trying to tell Jonah? What's he trying to help him to see? God has all power. God can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, folks. In my life and in your life. You know, he can. And we see here, this is what happened. We see God's ability to deliver and also God's ability to destroy. God can do anything. The purpose of the worm was to destroy the plant, to expose Jonah. See, God wanted Jonah to be exposed. You know, sometimes things may happen to expose us. You know? Let us see who we really are. What kind of person I really am. I'm not talking about outwardly. I'm talking about inside. Inside of me. What is inside of me that you can't see? But only God can. And we find here what takes place now. Notice in verse number 8. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared again a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." What is God doing to Jonah here? We said the wind. This is a hot, scorching wind now from the east beating upon him. God responds this way to the heat of Jonah's anger by exposing him again. We see God wanted Jonah's undivided attention. You think he's got it? I think he has. He wanted his attention, and I think he's got it now. Jonah still saw death. He preferred death rather than submitting to God, didn't he? Right on. This still wasn't getting his attention. It still wasn't helping him to see what was going on. Now look at verse number 9. Verse number 4, we find a question here. Jonah was angry about God in verse number 4. It says, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? But look at verse number 9. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? There it is again. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. What a response to God. Yes, that's right, Lord, I'm angry. I'd rather die. I'd rather die than to be where I'm at. I don't understand what's taking place in my life here. You know, isn't it amazing how we begin to be angry over big things? And then we continue to be angry. And right on, it gets to be little things that we're angry about. I mean, little petty things that don't really matter. You know? You know, I'd rather have scrambled eggs than fried eggs today, honey. You know? I mean, you know, it's little things that we sometimes get upset about. You know? And we see here, this is the way we all are. We made this way. Jonah had a strong feeling of hatred. A tragic picture we have here of pity. Jonah, have you ever had a pity party? Huh? I think we all have. When you get over it, get out of it, you look back and you say, well, how stupid was I? Why did I do that? Why in the world was I feeling that way to start with, you know? I shouldn't, you know, it's just the flesh. It's all it is. Folks, we're living a house of clay that unless we have it in control, it will defeat us. It'll defeat us. And if you hadn't had victory over your flesh, you wouldn't even be in Sunday school this morning. Do you know that? Your flesh would much rather be home in the bed or somewhere else doing something else. Here we find Jonah here. God questioned him. Notice now, in verse number 10, we see here God's rebuke. Verse number 10, we see the compassion. Notice he said, then said the Lord, talking to Jonah, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You had pity over the gourd. You were more sorrowful for the gourd than you are for these people. The thing that I created, the thing that I gave you, you're more sorrowful for that because it's gone now. Jonah, God put Jonah's attitude now here into perspective. We see him doing that. He loved a worthless plant, yet he hated the eternal souls of mankind that was around him. He loved the plant. He showed compassion for something that God had created, and he had no mercy for the city that was facing eternal judgment. No mercy at all for those people. He wanted them literally destroyed. Literally destroyed. Compassion for a plant. Compassion for a plant. Now, I know some of you love plants. Nothing wrong with plants. I'm not speaking against plants, okay? Don't take that. Plants are beautiful. I love plants. We have plants in our house. But here we find that Jonah, this is the only time we saw him really satisfied. When that gourd was over his head, he was in the shadow. He was there outside waiting for the town, the city to be destroyed. This is the only time he was satisfied. Here in the scriptures, you see. But notice in verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Compassion for a plant or compassion for a city? a city. A plant with less value than a city. A city of over 120,000 people with eternal value. The only valuable thing about us is our souls. That's the most important thing that we have, folks, is our souls. Anything that you can accomplish and get in this world is going to be destroyed one day. You know, I've seen the rich, I've seen the poor. Both live and both die. And they both go through the grave empty. There's nothing with them. They can't take nothing with them when they go. You know. What's more valuable? What's the most valuable thing in this world, folks? Is the souls of mankind. The souls of mankind. How much emphasis do we put upon that today? The souls of men. Rescue the perishing. They're dying. They're dying, folks. There's people in this world, there's people in this town right here that are lost and on the way to hell. Waiting for you, waiting for me to go knock on their doors and tell them. We have visited this past week. We knocked on this door, and this lady came to the door. And we told them who we were, where we were from. And we asked her, would she like to come to church? Does she go to church anywhere? She says, I don't. No, I don't. She says, I don't have a way. I don't have a way. You know, it's been a while since I heard that. But it struck me. Here's a lady who would go to church. She had a way. I said, well, I think we can provide that if you'd like to go. And so I contacted a bus driver. And for some reason, she's not here today. I've been looking for her yet. She may be in another class. I don't know. I hope she is. But you know, there are people out there. There are people out there, folks, that are waiting for you and waiting for me to go talk to. To go talk to. To encourage to come to church, Sunday school, encourage to come to church. Jonah is missing the greatness of God's grace and his mercy. He's still missing it, folks. How great God's grace is and how great his mercy is. Yes, he won the battle as far as preaching to Nineveh with God's message. He won that battle, didn't he? But on the other hand, he had lost the war in his heart. He still had a heart problem. He still didn't love people. He still didn't love people. It was good for him to accomplish what he did. And we see this. We see here in this passage of Scripture today the failure of success. The failure of success. How can somebody be so successful in doing what God wants them to do, but yet internally be a failure? Be a failure. Having heart problems right on, having the wrong attitude, arguing with God. God, you don't know what you're doing. I know what's best. You know, all this kind of stuff in his heart. Build up in his heart. Build up in his heart. You know, the Bible says the heart is desperately what? Wicked. And who can know it? Who can know it? Well, only God knows my heart. Only God knows your heart. But our hearts sometimes are wicked. They're literally wicked, folks. You know, we live in a world that can easily make our hearts wicked, can't it? If we listen to it, if we watch it, if we're not careful, we can all get that way fast. We can get that way fast. So we see here in this book of Jonah, we'll conclude next week, we see two things. We see the littleness, or how small man is. How small man is. Man is nothing compared to God. Man is nothing compared to God. And on the other hand, we see how big God is. We said before, this is not the book of Jonah is not a story about a man and a fish. The book of Jonah is the story about a man and his God. His God. His big God. And God is able to do far above that we could even think and imagine it. You know, if God can use a man whose heart is not right to preach the word and sinners respond and believe that he's a man from God, or has a message from God, and repent, folks, God can do anything. Amen. He can do anything, you know? And he's chosen you and me as vessels to do just that, to do just that, to get out the word, to get out the word. My challenge is to myself and to you this week. Do everything we can to get the word out. Pass out a tract to somebody. You know, knock on a door. Tell somebody at work during break time. Give them a tract to read. You know, you'd be surprised how people respond to it. You say, well, they won't take it. Well, if they don't take it, well, just don't worry about it. But I guarantee you, 95% of the people that you offer a tract will take it. They'll take it. They may throw it in the trash can and the first one they pass by, but that's between them and God. You know, I've done my part. I've offered the Word of God to them. I've tried to say, you need to read this and it can be encouraging to you. When I do that, I've done my part. You know? So let's be vigilant. Let's be wise in trying to get the message out, folks. The greatest thing that I can do, the greatest thing you can do, the most important thing any of us can do in this life is to share the gospel with somebody else. Share God's word. That's why we have it. God hasn't left me here to do what I want to do. He's left me here to do what he wants me to do. And that's one thing he wants me to do, is to share the gospel. Next week we'll conclude the book of Jonah. We're going to review some from all the chapters, and we're going to make some application next week of what we have learned through the book of Jonah. I hope it's been an encouragement to you to realize that God's on the throne. God can use and God will use who he desires to use to accomplish his program and his purpose in this world while we're here. Aren't you glad that God's chosen you? Aren't you glad that God's using you in some way to help others come to know Christ as Savior? God's given us a great honor to do that, folks. He really has. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day. We thank you for Jonah, his life. Lord, even though he's a man of various characters that we can't even imagine, but yet, Lord, you've used him, Lord, to accomplish your purpose with the city of Nineveh. God, may we, Lord, be willing to be used by God to accomplish your purpose in our lives wherever you placed us at. Father, I pray now, Lord, as we go through this week, Lord, you would encourage us, Lord, to pass out a tract, to talk to somebody about Jesus, to invite somebody to church. God, help us to do our part. Lord, this is more important than anything else we could do in life. Yet, Lord, I'm afraid sometimes we have dropped the ball. So, Lord, help us. Lord, renew our desire, even, Lord, to talk to people about you. Lord, we're going to the next service. I pray, dear God, for the singing. I pray for the congregation singing, the choir, the special. I pray for our pastor. Lord, please give him liberty, anoint him afresh, your power to preach your word today. There's one here lost. I pray they might be saved. Encourage those, Lord, your children. And we thank you now for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.